not so much sure if I'm going to preach this morning or just going to talk to you. Some things that are on my heart. As we get older, we have to write things down so we can remember them. But there's always the blessing of having God's Word, bringing our heart's needs before the Lord, and to share with Him. I guess my desire is that some spiritual help and encouragement will come from God's Word. Now, even though February is the shortest month of the year, it's known for many special occasions. Here are some of them. I found a list of 75 different things that all have a date set for them in February. I'm not going to read all of them, but the whole month is known as Canned Food Month. It's known as Creative Romance Month. It's known as the Great American Pie Month. It's known as the National Grapefruit Month, all in February. Then there are some special days. For instance, we all know that the second was Groundhog's Day. Did you know that the third was Bubblegum Day? And that yesterday was the fourth, right? Yesterday was Eat Ice Cream for Breakfast Day. And it was also Think of the Mailman Day. Today is a National Weatherman Day. It's also a Super Bowl Sunday, right? The fifth coming up is known as Wave All Your Fingers at the Neighbor Day. Now, that's got to be just for the ladies. And men, I think, wave like this, don't they? Ladies wave like this, right? So that's the seventh. You can mark that down. The eighth is Kite Flying Day. There's a quote here, in the middle of winter. The ninth is National Pizza Day. And also on the ninth is Toothache Day. The tenth is Umbrella Day. And the 11th is Don't Cry Over Spilt Milk Day. The 14th, though, is what? Valentine's Day. How about the 16th? Do a Grouch a Favor Day. Or the 17th, Random Act of Kindness Day. And the 20th, for you that have pets, Love Your Pet Day. The 22nd is Be Humble Day. 22nd is also Walking the Dog Day. And the 23rd is International Dog Biscuit Appreciation Day. The 27th is No Brainer Day. The 28th is Public Sleeping Day. This is just a few. In fact, you have a computer, you can just Google in, and you can have the list for all of the things that are there. Most of us will agree that February is usually thought of as on the 14th as Valentine's Day, a day in which we show our love with a greeting card or with candy or some other expression of sacrificial love to people we love. So it's high on the list, isn't it, of favorite days, not only February, but all year long. We think of that in a special way. And rightfully so, and I trust all of you men are thinking about getting that Valentine for your wife or loved one. You got 10 days yet, in case you haven't. And isn't that special? Listen, rightfully so. Is there anything greater than being loved or showing love to someone else? And especially as a Christian, when we think of God's love for us and our love for Him. So everyone loves something that gives some kind of meaning to life, a love for Christ and all that He is, Christ's love for us. Some people love themselves. Some people love their work, and they live for their work. Some love their families, husband or wife, or children. Some love and live for money. That's their whole life. Some live for their hobbies or all the stuff that they've collected. You have stuff that you collect. You love those things. Some love sports. Today you know of that, about that. Some love their pets, their cars. And the list could go on, a long list of things that people love. May not be fully satisfied with all those things, but they give themselves to those things. Sad thing is, if and when a person is devoid of nothing to love at all, they don't love anything, they don't think anyone loves them, in reality, it opens up the door for suicide, doesn't it? That's what causes people to take their life, because nobody loves them, they really can't give themselves to anything. They've lost all hope. And how sad it is to reach that kind of an attitude when God's love is available in Christ. God's love is available in Christ. So the good news is, this morning, that God is love. And He is the God of love. And He's given us a book, the Bible, that tells us all about His love. Some people don't think that's true because Satan wants to blind our minds and our hearts to keep us from understanding what God says in His Word about love. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ." When you talk to somebody about their need of a Savior, and they have all kinds of excuses and all kinds of things that they say against it, we know that Satan has blinded their minds. We need to pray to that end, that that blind could be pulled aside and they would see the glorious light of the gospel. Satan is the culprit, and he wants to keep people away from the Bible. He wants to keep it a closed book, wants to keep them away from church, because he knows once the Word of God is exposed to a person's heart and life, that it's a book of love, revealing God's love, revealing the Savior that we have in Christ Jesus. Total love, real and lasting love, as the Bible tells us. Now, some people try to tell us that the Bible, is, as they've heard of it, is really a book of hate and meanness from a stern, condemning God, especially in the Old Testament. But that is anything but true. Because do you know, I counted them up from the concordance, that the Bible contains the word love and words that mean the same 580 times in the Bible. It's a book of love. And to any person who will read it, they'll recognize that the Bible is a love letter from God. A love letter that He sends to us. He makes the offer of love to everyone who will accept it and read it. In the Old Testament, the word love is used in 25 of the 39 books that are there. And in all of the 27 books of the New Testament. So if you want to read a book on love, read the Bible. I read of a young teenage girl that had some ideas and thoughts about love. And one day at a yard sale, a garage sale, she saw a book entitled How to Hug. And she bought that book, How to Hug. And she brought it home, and that evening in her own room, she's going to anticipate to learn how to hug, only to find that what she'd bought was one volume out of the encyclopedia from the letters H-O-W, the H-U-G, and nothing to do with love at all. Now, so really what I'm saying is that many people are looking today in the wrong place for real love, any place but the Bible, any place but the church. But even in the Old Testament, the Bible, the words of love and related are found over 230 times. You look for them and enjoy them. In the book of Psalms, the word love is found 26 times, 18 times in the Psalms 119. In the New Testament, I found that the word love and like words is used 27 times in the scripture that Jim read to us this morning. We're going to go back in a little while. We're going to reread it again. 27 times love or loved or loves is in those verses from 7 to 21. Now in a little bit, we'll take a summary, as I said, of that, along with one from the Gospel of John and one from the book of Romans. Need to have your Bibles open and see for yourself what difference it can make. Really, love never grows old. It simply gets better. At first, might be good for us to remind ourselves of the different kinds of love. When you use the word love, it means different things to different people. In the Greek language, you may have already known this, and your pastor may have already shared this, but just to kind of review them a little bit. From the lowest to the highest, the first word for love is not even used in the Bible that the world uses. It's a worldly love, really has to do with a personal, physical love, sexual love. Eros is the name. It's a self-satisfying, based on bodily chemistry. I love you because you make me happy. It has nothing to do with the other person. It's only the feeling that you have. Many marriages don't last if they're based only on that kind of love, personal love. There is phileo love, which is an affection or a fondness or a liking. The love that responds to kindness and appreciation and involves giving as well as receiving. That kind of love can be strained, greatly strained, and can collapse in a crisis and people go their separate way. But phileo love has to do with our love. That is, it takes two people. You love me, I will love you. Not just my happiness under Eros loss. The quality in the other person is there as well, like two peas in a pod kind of love. Third love in the world is a love is a stogia love. It's a natural affection, strong friendship kind of love, a love of community, family love, not always happy, but always the family's got to stick together. I don't want to hurt the family kind of love. I'm going to do my duty in friendship to take care of the family. Family loyalty. It's commendable, but it too can break down. But the fourth word for love, agape love. You've heard this. Best describes by two words, unconditional love. Agape love. That's the kind of love that we find basically in the Bible. Not only loving oneself, but also loving the other person and to receive that love as they're being loved. It's a love out of one's heart toward the preciousness of the object that's being loved. It's a love of esteem, evaluation, prizing it. It is the most noble word for love in the Greek language. It's not kindled or started because of the merit of the person or the other person. It's as a person saying, I don't love you because of who you are. I love you because I have love in my heart for you. Comes from the heart of one doing the loving. And that's the kind of love that God has. That's the whole thought. It is a love that keeps on loving, even when there's no response from the one being loved. That person may remain unkind. They may remain unlovable. They may be unworthy. It's often stated by the word unconditional love, love that never gives up. That's the kind of love that God has for us, agape love. It's the word that's used most often in the Bible. As we'll see this morning, it's the kind of love that we need to ask God to fill our hearts with, as that's the kind of a love he has for us. A love toward other people who may in many ways may be unloving, but they need the love that you have to share with them. God's love and your love. Now with that thought in mind about the word love, I'd like for us to refresh our minds in three passages of Scripture, all familiar. Basis of love is that it's unconditional love, God's love, both in how God acts and how you and I are going to act as we, by faith, receive God's love into our heart. When we're children of His, we want to display the word and the action, the same kind of love that He does. And we can both reflect that in our heart and in our soul. That's why we're in church this morning, to hear the Word of God, make adjustments in thoughts, in our thoughts and in our behavior that line up with the Lord Jesus, the one who loves us and saved us, the love that we profess. First, most familiar verse that has to do with love is John 3:16. It's one of the greatest love verses in the Bible. Someone has divided it into 12 parts to help us get the full meaning of God's love. And later we'll look at another love verse that's even more stronger than John 3:16 as far as unconditional love. Let me read it for you as someone has put it. I have a little plaque that hangs on the wall in our home, and it's known as the gospel in a nutshell. Here's what it says. For God, the greatest lover, so loved, the greatest degree, the world, the greatest company, that he gave, the greatest act, his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whosoever, the greatest opportunity, believeth, the greatest simplicity, in him, the greatest attraction, should not perish, the greatest promise, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, everlasting life, the greatest possession. Do you know what the Apostle Paul called that love? He calls it indescribable. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Indescribable. Or in other words, unspeakable. You can't even express it. Inexpressible, free gift, too wonderful for words kind of a gift when we fully understand God's love in such a way. It's out of his unconditional love that God gave Christ willingly to pay the price for your sin and for my sin. Is it too wonderful for words to express it? Yes, it is. Can't really fully understand it. We sometimes shake our head in wonder and amazement that how grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. Do you know that in some translations of that hymn, they've changed the word wretch to a little softer word? Yes, wretch is not too strong, is it, of a word for what we were outside of Christ. God's using it to describe all of us. Wretched we are because of sin. But Christ in his giving love, unconditional love. Now, if you question that, could God really love us that much? I want to have us consider another verse along with John 3:16. And it's in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but I want to read verses 6 to 8. This even makes God's love even more stronger and more unconditional. Here's what the Apostle Paul really boldly says. Verse 6, "For while we were still helpless, at the appointed moment, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proves his own love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Did you ever think about that truth? That how much God showed his love to us? In fact, when Christ died for us, for mankind, in whom there was nothing to evoke that love in us, he didn't see anything, any cause within how we were living to cause him to want to die. We were not sorry for our sins. We were not turning away from our sins. We were not asking for his help. We were not trying to stop sinning. What we were doing, we're still living full-time in sin, headed away from God, running away from God, bent on sinning and finding new ways to sin. And yet out of that unconditional love of God, Christ died for us. It's the Spirit of God that brings conviction, brings us to turn to himself. Some cases, God will cause us to love someone else who is that unloving to try to win them to the Savior as well. So it's a clear picture of what God's love is really like. He died for me while I was running away from him in my sin. And the question can be asked, why should he love me so? There's no answer other than that God is love, and I deserve to be sent to endless punishment, a place called hell, but he paid the price to set me free from my sin if I put my trust in him, turning away from sin. And when I do, then I'm saved and I'm rescued. I become a child of God. It's not what I've done, it's what he's done. I've simply reached out and taken it. God gives us a new heart of loving, begins a new life of loving others, just as Christ loved us. It's all received by faith. I told the story, and probably you've heard the story, of a man who was preaching about the free gift of the Lord, and he took out his pocket watch, gold pocket watch, and said, "I'll give this watch to anybody who will come up and take it." And they all looked and kind of smiled, and finally a little 10-year-old boy in the back, he walked up to the front, and the pastor gave him his watch. He walked back and smiled, sat by his mother. After the service was all over with, the mother said to the little boy, "You better go give the watch back to the preacher." Just using that for an illustration. The visiting pastor said, "No, I gave him that watch. Doesn't have to give it back. It's his watch." We can think about that and understand that is how the Lord, when he gives us his salvation, we reach out by faith and we trust it and we take it to be our very own. If your Bibles are open, if you have your own Bible there, would you turn to 1 John 4, the verses that Jim read for us this morning. And as I said, in these 15 verses, the word love is used 27 times. Talks about God's love, but then it really gets down to where, and it gets kind of touchy at the tail end, that we can squirm a little bit when it gets to talking about the love. Now, if you have your own Bible and you've got a pen or pencil and you do any marking in your Bible, not underline it, but draw a circle around it, it really stands out. Or to notice this, Now I want to read it again. Now I want us just to pause a moment as we think of it. Beloved, let us love one another. Why? Well, for love is from God. It's not our love, it's His love. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So what he's telling us is really, if we have real love, it's not our own love, but it's the love that he gives us. Verse 8 says, anyone who does not love does not know God. Which must tell us that when we become a Christian, he gives us a love that changes our life. The reason that if we don't love, we don't know him, is because God is love. There it is. God is love. In that little verse. Verse 9 says, as it explains it, in this the love of God was made manifest or made known to among us, that God sent his only Son into the world. So there's the explanation. How did God love us? By sending Jesus, his only Son, part of the Trinity. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. It started with him. He loved us, and then we respond because he gives us his love by faith. And sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation gets changed in some other translations. It's really a good word. Do you know, very simply, propitiation means atoning sacrifice. It simply means somebody had to pay the sacrifice that would atone me and wash me from all my sin. The word propitiation. That's exactly what Jesus did. He paid the price with his sacrifice on the cross, that I could be atoned, be clean from all my sin. That's the kind of love for our sins. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now it gets to the squirming part. God loves us, we like that. But if he loved us, and if I accepted his love, then we ought to love one another. Verse 12, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. So we haven't seen God, but our love reveals that we have a relationship with him. Verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he's given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. That's the propitiation part. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, confesses, that is, acknowledges, testifies to that. God abides in him and he in God. That's the salvation experience. Verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us, God is love. There it is again. And whoever abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. By this is love perfected, matured with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. We look forward to ahead. We stand before him with confidence, not fear, because God has loved us and he's given us his love and we love in return. Because as he is, so we also are in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. He takes away the fear of our sin for the future because of his love. We haven't earned it. We receive it as a free gift. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. Now it's turning the tables a little bit. And it tells us, because he loved, if that love is in me, then I'm going to begin to love. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother. Brother can involve a lot of people. Hates others. He is a liar. That's strong language. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. If I can't love the neighbor, how can I love somebody else? Now, it's important that we have that kind of an understanding of who God is, that he's really a God of love. I have a little book of little letters, supposedly, whether they're true or made up ones, letters that children have written to their pastor. And one little boy wrote this letter to his pastor, and he said, Dear Pastor, you preach Sunday that the Bible says that God wants us to love everybody, but I don't think God has ever met my sister. Well, God did know his sister, and we love everyone, no matter. And that's because not our strength that causes people to love others, but it's what he puts within our heart. And this is the commandment that we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. As we come to a close this morning, I'd like to have us examine our heart. Is there somebody in your family, in the neighborhood, who's done, maybe the word you would use, done me dirt, and I really don't want to talk to them? I really have some feelings. Maybe it's within a marriage. Maybe it's within a working place. And I really can't love them. And that stands in the way, taking away the peace that is there. But the scripture says there is unconditional love that God has placed in our heart. And even though we may not understand what people have done to us, we can love them with a love to want to win them to the Savior. That's God's love. Remember, Christ loved us while we were running away. The other person may never apologize. They may never want to make it right. But as far as we're concerned, our heart is filled with love and concern for them. And what it does, it gives us peace. Maybe it will never be settled on this side of earth, but in our own heart it will be settled. There's peace and joy. God has loved us. He's given us that love. We, in turn, can love everyone that is there. God must love his brother as well. Even the sinner, even those that would hurt us, that's God's love. So as we think of Valentine's, the love you're going to share with husband or wife or with friends or children, whatever it might be, we know the greatest of all this is the love that God has given to us. If somehow in your own heart and life you've never trusted the Savior, you know that he died for you. He loves you. His arms are open wide to all who will come to him in faith, believing. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, haven't shared anything new today, but we're thankful for the truth of your word that tells us that God is love. And he manifested that love through the Lord Jesus, willing to die for us while we were all running away from him. And when we trust him, he places that love within our heart that causes us to love even those that are the most unlovely. As we pray for our government, for those in office, for those that have been in office, often some very unkind things have been said. Yet there needs to be a godly love for everyone who can come to know the Savior. Lord, we pray that you would bless the continuance of this ministry here in this town for Pastor Terry and for those that work with him. And there would be souls that would be saved, and people would see the love of Jesus in them. Maybe by people who have done wrong things to people within the church, yet the response has not been of meanness, but of love in return. As the scripture says, people will know us, not by what we believe. People will know us by the love that we have for one another and the love that we have for Jesus. Thank you for this truth. We pray and ask it in Christ's name. Amen.